Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Sunday is not the day to relax.
Brandon. Yeah, I'm trying to talk.
Yeah, sorry.
Because Triple M footy finishes the weekend with a bang.
You are a genius, Dave.
No, I couldn't agree more with you there, Joey.
This is the Sunday Rub.
This is going to be an absolute belter.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
And a very special Sunday it is too on Easter Sunday. We're at Marvel Stadium. The Western Bulldogs take on the West Coast Eagles. There's been some big results so far. Collingwood defeating Brisbane, probably the biggest of them, and Melbourne were so good last night against Port Adelaide, winning by 7 points as I work my way around the box. And before I introduced all these guys, we've got Essendon defender Nick Martin coming up. Whoa. 44 disposals yesterday, just allowed to run his own race. We'll talk to him about that. Ross even said that wasn't hurting us too much, so 44 disposals, talk about that. But Joey Montagna is here.
Hello, Nathan. Happy Easter. Did you get to go to church at all the week over the weekend?
I went last night. There was an Easter spectacular down at Planet Shakers, and it was a very good Easter spectacular last night.
Happy Easter to you.
We've got Daisy Thomas here, 100 games for Collingwood, 100 games for Carlton. He's about to step into the ring against one of his former teammates, yes, in Dane Swan, and you're looking sort of fit.
Well, I'm going all right. Easter, probably not the right time of the year for me to come up with it, because obviously I have a real sweet tooth. I love chocolate. So 5 days out from a fight, not ideal, but we're getting there. And you're looking very, very fit yourself.
And a man who's actually been in the boxing ring as an amateur many years ago.
Undefeated.
And is absolutely sweating up.
Yeah, what's
a treat at the moment. His T-shirt's wet. His brow's a little bit shiny.
Shaky.
Jay Clark, the man who likes to take photos with his kids and to show off his muscles with his top off. It's extraordinary the amount of times he's done it. But Jay Clark, Herald Sun's finest and the number one man there.
Check out my Instagram page. There's a collection of photos on there. Look, I've had a mare this morning, team, and I owe you a big apology because we had a commitment here at Marvel Stadium about half an hour ago. And I went to our offices at the South Melbourne studio on Moray Street. I'm looking forward to hanging out with Joey and Daisy and Brownie and the boys. And I got up there. It's very quiet. And I'm like, hey, Joe, and I'm calling out for you, Joey, Brownie, I brought you a coffee, and just couldn't hear a pin drop. And that's when you get the sinking feeling.
What would you go there for?
What would you go there?
It was in the WhatsApp group this morning.
I know.
We were at Marvel.
I had to go there on Thursday night, and I just got my wires crossed. But it's not the first time I've done this. I've done this a few years ago with BT, and he was really.
I believe the man you fought many years ago, his name was Andrew Battleship.
That's
right? And you went with the line, I'm going to sink you.
That's what happened. Yep. I was Jay Sugar Clark back in those days. And I come out and I floored him in the first round, Daisy. So I do have a one fight, one win professional boxing record. So if you need any advice or education, I can take you.
Well, what is the advice? What advice would you have for these two blokes as they get in the ring for the first time in a few
days? Actually, I would like some advice. Because
are you getting nervous?
I am starting to get nervous now because, I mean, Kane is fit. I mean, obviously we're not boxers, but he looks genuinely fit. He looks big. He looks strong. And I'm starting to get a bit nervous.
My tip is, well, you're familiar with diuretics.
Yeah, he was a good boxer back in the 80s.
Stephen Chirica played for Richmond.
You just pop one of them, just strips you a little bit. No, just kidding. Your heart rate's going to be high early, isn't it? So you want to maintain your composure. Is it a three-round fight?
Four-round
fight, right? So you want to lower the heart rate. You want to just ease through the first round because they're going to be going bananas. They'll be nervous. They'll be jumpy. And then you want to come hard late. So it's the rope.
All right, that'll do you. That's enough talking about the boxing. But we've got a recidivist in the box as well.
Oh.
Our man Joey down in the front row.
What's he done?
These cameras in here that get our every move, and a couple of times we've been caught on camera when we're watching the football, and the people then watching it point out the fact that we don't look that excited when something happens.
Some of us. I'm very excited always.
I saw Jakey Stringer kick a bomb from 55 metres yesterday, and it was the game-winning bomb, and Barry Denner, the people's caller, couldn't have been happier, and you look in the back row, and I'll suck it on lemons over here. Barry Montagna, my Saints are going down. Oh, no, Ross, let's put in a call to Ross to see how he's going.
Brownie,
you should have seen his face when Jack Steele kicked it out in the full.
I actually called it, didn't I, Daisy? I said if there's one man that's going to kick the goal, it'll be Jakey Stringer. What am I meant to do?
Look happy. Smile.
People think that, don't they? They think when we're commentating a game that we should be smiling and cheering when stuff happens, but we're working. No, we're just concentrating. But it was a great call by Barry Denner. He did a very nice job.
Well, the Collingwood fans are the ones that come for you the most.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Very sensitive.
Too sensitive.
So you're saying, Joey, that your heartstrings were pulled? You're saying that there was a bit of a, To be honest, you were feeling. You were saying you sort of felt like you wanted St Kilda to win.
Was it financial?
Is that the admission?
Rui would have been on the text.
Yeah,
Rui, BJ,
Lenny, yeah,
Stevie Milne, yeah. Stevie Baker,
Robbie Eddie.
Jason Brent, Blake.
Yeah. Do you know what?
I just, Jason Graham.
Maxie Hudson's crying again.
Rui hurt his shoulder.
Yeah,
snuck off him, up on him like a librarian.
Oh no.
Yeah. Okay. What we do have?
Can we go back to the boxing, Daisy, or not?
Sure.
Glad to do that. Do you know my problem with your boxing builder?
Oh, Brandon? Okay.
Okay, we're going back.
Yeah.
Well, it's been too friendly. Like, you think of the big boxing matchups.
Yeah.
You're meant to throw a few barbs, you know, a bit of tension in the build-up. You blokes just sort of keep laughing and slapping each other on the back.
Well, one of the promos, I actually said, you're not going to be laughing too much when I get you in the solar plexus and follow one up on the chin.
Yeah, but if that's so on ABC, I'm talking about some real prime-time sort of tension and drama.
Well, it was on Stan Sport. I don't know where you've been.
Well, that's
obviously going to the wrong building again. Tell you, man, who would never go to the wrong building is Stevie Johnson, and he's not here today. The former Norm Smith medalist is coaching his first game today. Stevie, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, Nathan. G'day, boys.
And how are you feeling leading into a big season? Always hard to go back-to-back, Stevie. The pressure's on you. The paper bags have probably been paid up there.
It's always tough to gauge how you're going to go round one. So we're in Mawala today, which is across the river from Yarrawonga. There's a massive tennis tournament on our home deck. It's the biggest one in the Southern Hemisphere. So we move over the bridge and play at Mawala. There'll be about 5,000 or 6,000 people here today. Wow. So it's a big game.
So who are you playing against, Stevie? And are you concerned about the premiership hangover? Do you think the hangover might be real?
These boys don't go as hard as me, Joey. So I think we'll be
safe.
Didn't
make literal hangover, Stevie.
Have any of them been stabbed over the off-season, Stevie?
Yeah, no, only the coach nearly went down. But no, we played Wodonga. Bulldogs are a pretty good outfit. They won their first six last year. So, our boys have had a good off-season. I've trained them up. It's bloody hot here today, though. It's going to be about 34 degrees, so I'm hoping they are hydrated overnight.
Stevie, just with the stabbing stuff, is it off-limits at the club? Like, have any of the boys dared to sort of take the mickey out of you about it yet, or are they afraid that it would impact selection?
No, they're a little bit intimidated by me, Jake. I just give them those eyes and they know how I'm feeling. But I'm interested to see if I get any stick across the fence today because, you know, when you go out to your quarter time huddles in the country, there's about 300 people that come out into the ground, the liniment sniffers, and want to have a look and see what I'm saying to the boys to rev them up. So it'll be interesting to see if I cop any flack.
What is the pre-game speech, Stevie? Have you got a theme like we see or hear from the modern coaches?
I've got a little bit of a theme, Daisy, a little bit around talent and desire today. So we've got a very talented list, as everyone knows. And then I'm going to get some local players in to present the jumpers to the guys that are playing their first games. And then I'm going to play
Desire song.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Sounds good,
Stevie.
Yeah, Stevie, all the best. All the best. Quickly, Stevie, big game tomorrow being Geelong and Hawthorn. Recollections, how many times did you star on Easter Monday?
Well, I can't count on both my hands in front of me, Nath, but I'm looking forward to – I'm actually heading along to watch that game, Tommy Hawkins' 350th, so I'd love to see him kick the match winner once again, which I set up back on that day.
Where does he rate in terms of the greatest cats of all time? Obviously, Joel Selwood gets a stand built after him, Gary Ablett Sr., Polly Farmer, Matty Scarlett. Where does Tom Hawkins sit amongst those players?
Well, he sits comfortably in that group. I think Ablett Sr. and Junior are probably just ahead of the other guys, but Polly Farmer's obviously rated as maybe the best ruckman of all time, but comfortably, yeah, in that echelon. So,
so bubble below you.
When he turned up to the footy club, boys, he was overweight. He used to eat about 12 cinnamon donuts before he got to training. He had, you know, he's got a pretty squeaky clean profile, but he was a little bit loose back in the day as well. So I never thought he'd play 350 games, put it that way.
Is his nickname Tim Tam?
He loves Tim Tams. He eats a whole packet in a single sitting, Jay, yeah.
That's not that hard to do these days, though.
Yeah. Stevie, all the best today, mate.
Right on.
You've actually said more words than one of the games you had on air last year down the sower. You might as well put an invoice in for this one today.
I will. Thanks, boys. Have a good one.
Good luck, Stevie.
Stevie Jay up there playing his first game. Geelong and Hawthorn playing tomorrow. We're at Melbourne. We're in Melbourne for the Western Bulldogs and the West Coast Eagles. You got anything for us, Dave?
Well, I do. And it is back to the boxing theme. We are getting a bit nervous. It's getting closer. The eyes of the footy world are going to be on us. It's Wednesday night, of course, before Gather Round. It is on Stan pay-per-view as well, which is it's just a little nice decoration, a little add-on to the Instagram bio.
And there's big digital boarding across the freeways at the moment.
Correct. And I look grouse too. Got the shirt off. Had a fresh tan from Bali. So I'm pretty happy with that, even though it is black and white. But I've gone with today. You love a top five.
I do love a top five.
In honour of you taking on Kane Corns, the top five blokes who'd most like to see you give Kane a proper flogging.
Oh, yeah.
How'd you narrow it to five?
Well, I've got a couple of honourable mentions off the top because the list could have gone on forever. The North Melbourne Football Club get an honourable mention. Jason Horne-Francis, Jack Ginnivan. So they didn't make the top five. But coming in at number five is my good self. Obviously, last year, Kane was pretty keen to call me a part-timer, and I'm not sure how many hardest working man in football awards he's got, but I'm sure I've got one more than him on that one. So I'm going to be there. Swanee and I, of course, fight before, so I'll be sitting there, and I'll be cheering like buggery. So there's your first. Number four, Mark Rashuta, Triple M's very own. And obviously, this goes back to the Adelaide theme, Port v Crows and whatever it is over there. But Roo despises this man like no one else. And when he talks, there's that glint that the Roo gets when he wants to punch something.
Only a small town, Adelaide.
It is. And there can't be too many big dogs. So the Roo's there at number four. Number three, it's quite, I guess, trivial at the minute, controversial. It's foal people. Trent Cotchin, Joel Selwood, Matthew Richardson and Channel 7. After the absolute piss take that's been called bullying in the paper today.
Triple F got a clip.
that's not coming from me. That's Jay's understudy. that's his words too. But after he took the absolute mickey out, and to be honest, you boys were lucky you didn't get
When you watched it as a Channel 7 person.
I didn't watch it. I'm a loyal man. I only watched
it. You didn't watch it?
No.
How do you know about it?
It's on social media. It was in the paper today. I read the paper. So those three named.
I thought it was funny. I thought the takedown was funny.
Okay. Well, if you're into bullying, you can support that in your own time. Number two, Tex Walker.
Oh, yes. He's not number one.
No, he's number two. Tex Walker.
Do you know how that started?
No, I don't. So please tell me.
So Tex wasn't playing that well at some point, and Kane clearly just made a comment off the cuff about it looks like Tex Walker needs a spell next week because he's not being the player that he needs to be. And that's exactly where it started. So then Tex started coming back at Kane, and then obviously Kane sees red every time someone says anything about him. So he wanted to go harder, and then Tex went harder. And that's an innocent comment like that, that he needs a spell. That's how it started.
You haven't had a top-up of your Botox for a while.
No,
I thought that today.
Some.
I just saw,
you thought that today.
I saw it today on TV.
I've never had any.
You can see now why he does get it.
It's their first ever wrinkle.
Look at it. Whoa.
I'm just trying to make sure they slide off on Wednesday night.
Very smart. So coming in at number one of the top five people who want to see you belt Kane Corns, it's a bit of a reversal. It's the AFL world wanting Kane to give you a hiding. The tables have turned all of a sudden. The closer we get to this, people are going, it'd be good to see Brownie win, but from our point of view, what happens if he loses?
An embarrassment.
Can you show your face ever again? Imagine the fun we're going to have with it.
Like, you've got to do Friday night footy two nights later.
And I'm going to, like, if I lose to Swanee, you know, he's pretty handy. No one really cares, are you? Good on you. For you, it is the weight of the footballing world on your shoulder. Mm. And the closer we get, everyone's starting to go, this will be pretty funny if he gets rolled.
Yeah. I don't find it funny at all. My son, who's nine, said, Dad, what happens if you lose? And I said, no, we don't contemplate that.
You've got a lot to lose.
We're winners.
You've got a lot to lose.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, it'd be embarrassing. Jordan DeGoey pointed that out to me when I ran into
him. That's right.
He said, you'll be the embarrassment of the whole AFL world if you don't get him.
Well, there it is. There's a top five.
But you know what's going to happen if I'm looking down on points?
Oh, swinging.
They're going to be swinging. Absolutely going to be swinging.
No, very good. Good luck to all. Tickets at canefight.com.au. Get across and cheer us on.
Yeah, good luck to Daisy and Brownie.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
Easter Sunday, the Western Bulldogs taking on the West Coast Eagles from Marvel Stadium, not far away from this one. But yesterday, the Essendon Football Club got the job done against the Saints, and a big thanks to this man who was absolutely fantastic with 44 disposals off the half-back line. Nick Martin joins us on Triple M Footy. Nick, what a day it was for yourself and also the Bombers yesterday.
Yeah, thanks. It was a good day. Really great to get the result. Really pumped with that one.
44 disposals was the record which Darcy Parrish held. Now you have the equal record for the Bombers. You're proud of that because Joey was a big kick-out man himself back in the day. And I know that you had six where you left the box yesterday.
Yeah, he probably explains why Darcy didn't give me a handball in the last. Probably wanted to keep the record. But mate, it doesn't mean much to me at all. But the kick-ins helped for sure.
Hey, Nick, tell us about the move. I'm sure we'll get to the game in a second, but tell us about the move to halfback because you've been a very good wingman for a couple of years now. But how did it come about, the move to halfback, because you've really embraced it?
Yeah, our new defensive coach, Ben Jacobs, sort of proposed the idea to me sort of the first week back at training, and sort of my mentality was, you know, new opportunity and a new way to learn. So I said yes, and yeah, Brad sort of said to me as well, he's like, as soon as the big boss sort of says it, you know, he means business. So started pretty early, trained full pre-season there, but just keep my options open. If they need me to play wing or half forward, I'm happy to do it.
Now, Nick, you are on Triple M, so don't be modest on this, Joe, when you're talking to us. Last one about your role. So yesterday, St Kilda, they send up their high half forwards. You were happy to sit back and be free. Were you surprised that as the game went on, they didn't sort of try something different and man you up? Were you sort of looking around, licking your lips when you had 28 at halftime and came back out and still had no one next to you?
Oh, a little bit. I was a little bit surprised, how much of the footy I found. And sometimes I was sort of thinking, like, geez, am I doing something wrong here? Am I getting too much of it? But no.
He said, don't be modest. Nicky.
No, definitely good fun.
Were you a little bit flat that he didn't get the standalone record? Because 28 at halftime, as we do, you start to go, well,
the numbers.
Yeah, that should be at least 56. You finish with 44. Were you ever thinking about how much of it you'd had?
Yeah, I was doing the maths in my head at halftime. Like, geez, I'm on track for 50 here. And but I'm not, any chance a runner comes out to me and say, mate, just get one more and you've got the record? Or
Speaking Essendon defender, sorry, Nick. Nick Martin, hey, tell us, when was the first time you had heard the Essendon edge? And what is the Essendon edge? Been a massive talking point this week.
Yeah, it has been. And I think the Essendon edge has been around for, you know, way before my years. And it's been a big, sort of big part of the history of the club. But I think the way Brad's brought it in, how he explains it to us, is that we're tough in the contest. And I think that's where the game starts every single week, is it's going to be heavily contested early. It's our ability to stand, withhold that, and also, you know, tackle hard and bring the pressure to the opposition.
Now, Nick, how confident were you towards the end of the game when Jackie Stringer just sort of turned his back on the play, 55 mm-hmm. out, and said, I've got this, boys? Was there anyone else you'd rather the ball in their hands, or were you really confident the whole time?
I was quietly confident when Jackie marked that and started walking back to the other 50, but, you know, he's a man of many tricks, Jake, and, I was quietly confident when he started walking back and turned his back on the play, and I thought, geez, he's gone for this.
Hey, you put up Peter Wright as a footy club very early last week, and he took responsibility of what he'd done. You could see he was genuinely remorseful. How is Peter this week? Because a lot of people still think it was a football incident, but how is he?
Yeah, Pete's in great spirits, and testament to his character, the way he shows up and prepares and helps the other fours. And I think you just look at Harry Jones's game yesterday and how he stood up, and, you know, without Pete and Pete's knowledge and wisdom, I don't think Harry performs like that. But credit to both Harry, the way he stepped in and took his opportunity. But yeah, Pete's in good spirits, and he's a leader of our football club.
Nick, just on Jakey Stringer, did really step up late, and at times still looks your most threatening forward to mine. I know Cole Langford is a very good player, but Jakey still has to be respected. I reckon there's still this bit of a perception he's a malign figure in footy, isn't he? Like, you know, every time he's discussed, it's like, oh, he's lazy, doesn't get fit before, you know, in pre-season, you know, he wants it one way, all that sort of stuff. Can you tell us how his summer's played out and whether he should have or he deserves to have changed that perception of him? Is he fit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I've seen some work he did over the summer. You know, he spent a majority in Melbourne and at the club. So I see the work he puts in sort of off the field. But I think Brad touched on it as well. He sorted his off-field out and he's given him the ability to play good football on the field. So Jake's very knowledgeable. He's got a lot of wisdom about the game for sure. And I can't underestimate his knowledge of it.
We, of course, have Stevie J usually with us on a Sunday, and he has claimed that he kick-started your career after having a chat to your old man at a eatery there in Lygon Street. Are you emulating Stevie a little bit too much, though? Because I did have a couple of suds with you at the Brownlow, and I think you might have had a couple more than me. Are you still rolling with the third-person calling of Nicky Martz?
Yeah, mate, Nicky Martz comes out when I play well, but not when I play bad.
Hey, there's a few boys at the Bombers with a fair amount of swag out. I mean, Langford, Perkins, Harrison Jones seems like a smoky for someone who's got some real swag. Every time he took a mark yesterday, he walked back like he was just about to rule the world. A bit Mason Cox-like.
Yeah, I think you need a bit of arrogance when you play in the front half, for sure, and you got to take the moment when you get them, for sure. But, I love what they bring, and they're tough matchups for sure.
Hey, Nick, you're flying. Your club's going well as well. You got Port Adelaide next week on Friday night. That's a huge one. Good luck, and thanks for joining us on Triple M.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, boys.
Nick Martin, 44 disposals yesterday. He was brilliant. 3 votes in the Brownlow medal quite comfortably.
Absolutely.
The last man who had 44 didn't get a vote, Greg Williams, many, many years ago. Cost him a Brownlow medal as well.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
For McDonald's, Remote Water, Triple M, Rocks Footy, Western Bulldogs, the West Coast Eagles, Sunday, Easter Sunday it is. Choice Hotels around the grounds, whatever your reason for travelling, you'll get the lowest price guarantee when you book direct at choicehotels.com. So go ahead, book it. There's some boxing going on at the moment around the grounds.
Yes, one of our Aussie boys has just gone down. Michael Prettyboy Zarafa has eaten a left hook from Erislay Lara and is all over in the third round.
Choice Hotels, whatever your reason for travelling, go ahead and book at choicehotels.com. It's time for...
This is Jay-Z's Big 3.
Yes, thank you, Brownie. Might have been one of the wins of the season from Simon Goodwin's men last night after an incredibly tumultuous week for the Melbourne Football Club. And to be honest, the Football Club has been under the Khyber for the past 2 years, really, with the federal court action from its former president and now the ex-club doctor dropping a bombshell through a submission to Parliament regarding the illicit drugs policy, which we heard all week. There's a definite us against the world sort of mentality driving the Melbourne Football Club. And although 20, less inside 50s and a lot less contested possession, it was a gritty win to get up by 7 points over Port Adelaide on enemy territory. Have a listen to Simon Goodwin here. And I want to know whether you think they're actually using a lot of this tumult and pressure and external noise to drive their premiership quest.
That's been going on for 3 or 4 years. So, one thing I know about this group is they're determined to play great footy. And, we just galvanise, we get to work, we work hard, and we put on a really high performance. So, I'm proud of the group, the way they're going about their business.
And specifically, personally, though, did it take a toll on you, or did you spend much time thinking about it? Or
I focus on being the best head coach I can be. I focus on being a good father, good person, and that's all I do.
So we know the allegations there against Simon Goodwin, again, coming from the former president in Glenn Butler, an extraordinary sort of face-off there. Joey, what happens when the pressure comes and the spotlight comes? You can either go one of two ways, I imagine. You can fracture and fragment, or you can use it to glue and drive. What do you think's happening here at Melbourne?
No, I think they've just bunkered down, and as a group, they're galvanised. But I think they always have been. To be fair, like they've been this way for 3 years now as a team. I mean, they've been a consistent top four side. I love the way they're going about it. They are a tight group that play great footy, and they know who they are. They're sticking to who they are. And anyone that you speak to at Melbourne, they say, look, we know where we are. We know who we are. They've got some great leaders both on the field and with their coaching staff. And I just love the way they're going about it. They're not letting it affect them. It's more so, you talk about us against the world. It's even internal. You talk about these former employees and their former president that are trying to take them down and trying to undermine them, and they just continue to get to work and get the job done like a good professional outfit.
Good leadership, Simon Goodwin there, him putting his hand up saying, yes, I'm just going to be the best head coach I can be. And the captain, Max Gawn, was enormous last night. He's someone who's going to put them on his shoulders. What did you make of the doctor who wrote that letter,
yep,
and then was passed on to the ex-president and then made it public in Parliament, saying he feels remorseful now for what's happened?
There's an interesting story in the Adrian by Chip LeGrand, him saying that he regrets his role in it. His point was not to blow up the AFL's illicit drugs policy. It was really to put a spotlight on Melbourne's alleged drug culture. But as he's in the Herald Sun this morning, and Melbourne were very strong on this yesterday, they have said, if we had an illicit drug culture at the club involving up to two-thirds of the playing list, which is the allegation from Dr. R. Rain, Melbourne said, and again, it's in the Herald Sun, why is it then that that didn't come up in the Audit and Risk Committee? He was doctor for 7 years, and throughout that reporting, it never bobbed up. So I think that's an interesting point. If you're saying you got a really bad problem, why didn't you ever tell us within those 7 years? Because there is a formal process there. So the quote here from the Melbourne Football Club yesterday was, at no time throughout his tenure did Dr. R. Rain ever raise any concerns about players' illicit drugs use to this subcommittee. That's the Audit and Risk Subcommittee. So I think that's a pretty strong point there from the Melbourne Footy Club.
The Wolves were definitely at the door at the start of the season, and they're not going away. So if Melbourne now don't perform the way they have in the last couple of weeks, the media are going to be back on them, and they're going to be trying to push this narrative. But to your point about the leadership, Max Gawn was crook in the first round, then come back nicely. Viney's been good, Petrarca. But Clayton Oliver, for what he's been through, we know he's a great player, but the effect that he's had, the way he's played, I believe more than anybody, him playing good football and being able to play round one has then lifted other players around him, because whether he likes it or not, he's a leader at that club and players look up to him, whether he's in the leadership group or not. But him playing well and him doing and putting his body on the line has been pretty inspirational in the first few games. Long way to go, and it's a big word to say inspirational, but he's copped it everywhere in the off-season.
I reckon it's a really good point, Brownie, because I've spent a lot of time talking to people at Melbourne about his actual demeanour and behaviour at the football club. And they have said to a person, he's a completely changed person. Previously, he might, how are you, Claret? Good, walk past. You know, grumpy, a bit disrespectful at times. Now he's, how's it going? You know, how's your family? How's your kids? So he's obviously getting a lot of support and help with this off the field, but they say his behaviour and demeanour at the football club is a complete 180.
I think the talk about the culture has been grossly exaggerated. I think, and I've said this before, that you could find a handful of players at every club in the competition that would have some questionable behaviour off the field, but because you're able to put two names to some players at a football club, it was like Melbourne's culture was way worse than anybody else. You could argue their culture is as strong as anybody's with what they continue to dish up and what they do, and I think there'd be a lot of clubs in the competition that would love to have a culture like Melbourne and be a top four team year in, year out, have a strong women's program, continue to play great footy and continue to win. So, I mean, I think they are just doing it beautifully.
I love that point that you made, Nath, because not many people now, apart from a small bunch, are pumping up Clary. There still are. Well, it's lucky he was in the side. It's almost an annoyance that some players now think that he's back because, you know, he was forced back in out of injury. And I just love the fact that you've brought it to light. Now, hopefully we continue to celebrate what he's doing.
So, and the forward half efficiency is a big story brewing for Melbourne because we've potted that. We know the finals, straight sets out, 20 more inside 50s, all the scoring shots. Well, last night they had 20 less forward 50 entries and got the chocolate. Simon Goodwin, you can just hear his sort of chest puff out a little bit as he talks about this last night.
To absorb 62 entries is a big number, but, you know, quite often our footy club's spoken about with a lack of efficiency, and tonight was the reverse. You know, we took our chances, we executed in front of goal, and that was the big difference in the game, our ability to be a bit more efficient, take our chances and kick accurately at goal. So you've got to love both phases of the game, but tonight we probably won on the efficiency side.
Is there a better set shot kick in the game than Bailey Fritch right now? And we see him on a Sunday when we do the Sunday game. So he's always, before the game, kicking up and down the centre-half forward line. I think it's with Greg Stafford, the ruck coach. But I've been to Melbourne training before, and he does the same thing. And he was the first one out there kicking goals before the game. And it's no surprise that last night, when they needed him to kick a goal from outside the boundary, he absolutely flushed it.
Well, that's the thing that you practice for. that is why you have a set routine like we see him do, because in those pressure moments, you have to go back to something, and it is your habitual remedies of how you go into kicking for goal. And for him, it is a structured routine which he can kick. I love the fact that you've been to Melbourne training and seen it. Did you see much from Melbourne training on the bin, Jay?
Yeah, that's how did you get let in, Brown? Because they forced me on top of the dumpster.
I told him it was Nathan Brown, the former player.
The one that played for Melbourne.
Nathan D. Brown.
The other really interesting story over the past 48 hours, which has gathered a lot of legs, and the balloon I think has been popped a little bit, but the Brisbane players' trip to America, so not Las Vegas, they went to America, they came back, and I think it's probably widely circulated now that there was an issue with the iCloud and some contents of some messages which found their way back home, and I think a relationship has ended, at least one relationship has ended on the back of that. Now, Brisbane have really put a lot of effort into the last 72 hours getting to the bottom of it and asking serious questions with their leaders, Lachie Neale and Harris Andrews. Is this a problem? Is there a divide in the football team? And the senior players have been adamant that it is not affecting their performance. They've started the season horribly. We know that. Lachie Neale's got a bit of an ankle issue, which doesn't make things any better. But they are adamant that this isn't affecting our on-field performance, and probably good on Brisbane for asking the question. Any of you guys watching Brisbane thinking that something off-field is bobbing up in their play? Have you observed anything whatsoever?
Well, Daisy speaks about this a bit more in the podcast and the listener app. We go into it a little bit more. But for me, you can't comment on it. I've got no idea what the players are thinking or how much it's affecting them. But I don't think, from what I see, the reason why Eric Hipwood's dropping marks is because of what happened in America, or the way they're moving the ball is because of what happened in America, or their desire to run back defensively is because of what happened in America. So
they've dealt with it for 6 months. It happened six months.
That's right.
Ago.
So you can't comment on that internally, what it's doing to them, because you don't know the exact situation and the circumstances. So I'm only commenting what I see on the field, and they've got issues with the way they are playing the game, and that's the concern that they should be focusing on, is training that and finding some form as a collective and particularly as a forward line group.
Yeah, speaking to someone within the club, and they are just backing that in. It is an absolute media beat up. I think it started elsewhere rather than a tip off. I think it started on Big Footy, is the circulating story. So right. Where it's gone from there to now, it just continues to grow, which is of great frustration, because you know we need to be talking more about the footballers not performing rather than how a alleged WhatsApp group being open and the images. I just find that really annoying, that that's the line of journalism we're starting to go down. That's sort of Daily Mail areas for me, Jay. So I think the Brisbane Lions, they need to get their big fellas firing. Hipwood, Joe Danaher and Charlie Cameron. That's the reason they're not winning games, not a little iCloud mishap, even if it was that.
And there is some suggestion that potentially that relationship was already overish before that sort of...
But even if it wasn't, who's...
People break up all the time.
Yeah, why
that's true.
Why
are we teams winning? Yeah.
Bigger... Probably the more pertinent question.
Where does it come from?
The cloud, it's up there.
Is Brisbane's era over? 0-3. They've been up there for a long time. Have we put a line through? Has anyone here put a line through the Lions?
No.
Because they were the most popular premiership tip.
Imagine if they get it going, sort of to what Carlton did last year, make it into the finals with a really strong back half of the season. They would be scary. They'd be a scary prospect to come up if they are at their very best. And for that reason, I know you're sort of pulling...
I'm trying to... must finish top four to win the premiership. Mm. So that means they're probably going to have to go...
You don't think they can do it from outside?
No one can. Especially a team that's going to have to travel on the road like Brisbane. I think you've got to finish top four. So they're going to have to go, 16-4?
I think for an interstate...
For their last 20 games?
An interstate club.
Tough ask.
I think you're a better chance of being able to do it from Melbourne.
Yep.
Are they light on in the midfield? Like, Lachie Neale is a genuine star.
No.
I know. And he was...
Dunkley's a very, very good player and defensively. Zach Bailey got put through the midfield late.
But he's a half forward.
So he's not a bona fide. Rayner. They've got options.
Rayner's not a bona fide midfielder. So you look at some midfields and they've got their set four midfielders. Brisbane have got a few that roll through. Are they light on in the midfield? You're saying no.
I say no. And I think the criticism from Brisbane fans and supporters is that the magnets don't get moved enough. If it's not working or they're getting beaten around the ball, there isn't the move of a Bailey on ball for 5-10 minutes, probably because the midfielders in there can't play other positions.
And they have been one of the competition's best stoppage sides. So we spoke about Essendon earlier. We take our hats off. Jake Stringer late. They did hang in that last quarter with St Kilda. really fading after a strong start. Ross Lyon says they had the first, I think the scoring shots were 8-2 early, but then lamented, well, he didn't say passages, but clearly he felt that too much was left to too few for the Saints yesterday.
Positive start, 8-2, and, you know, off last week, you feel pretty good about yourselves, and then all you need is one player to go, well, I'll let Steele do the work, and then one becomes two, and then you're looking for an easier game, and it's a very demanding competition where people are dog-hungry, and you leave yourself vulnerable, and I thought that's what happened.
Overhandballed, he said yesterday. They wanted to be kicking the footy more and be cleaner out in space and couldn't get the job done late. What do you think of this? They missed Henry and King. They don't probably have the depth to be able to absorb those sort of losses, do you think, Joey?
Yeah, I think King was a big loss. I think in that third quarter when it was really open and Saints had a lot of entries, Max King would have got on the end of a few, the way that game was panning out. Instead, Membry had to fight sort of above his height and Caminiti sort of wasn't quite getting it done. But, I mean, you know, I'm a believer in Ross. I understand he's talking about the ruthlessness. They just didn't have the ruthless edge when they were winning early St Kilda to really put the foot down. Mm. They just took the gas off slightly. And full credit to Essendon, they did bring the ruthless edge after a slow start. It was the reverse for them. And that's the competition. We've seen it with really good teams, Brisbane and Collingwood. You're slightly off. Another team is up and about. You get rolled.
Got a tough run now, the Saints.
Yeah, they do. It's a tough month.
To be 1-2, they probably should be 2-1. And now a tough month ahead.
Mm. And they got a problem with Marcus Windhager. So Sam Durham got concussed in a Seb Ross tackle. I think that will be all clear. 10 minutes earlier, Marcus Windhager bumped Sam Durham to the head. Now, I think that's the bump which will come under the MRO scrutiny this week. If you go by the guidelines, it looks like a one-match suspension. See what the medical report flushes out. But I think St Kilda will be missing Marcus Windhager next week.
What about your boy Pendles? How did he get off?
You got a Toby tax one way. There's a Pendle tax coming 100%. Back the other way.
Pendle started his campaign to get him off when he was out on the ground. Oh, Lockie Neal dived last year.
Hmm.
Anyone else in the competition, Jay? But you've worked.
He was always going to get off after the round one. It was a very similar one to that.
Yeah,
he was always going to get off. But there is a Pendle's tax because he's such a nice guy. And if you are a nice guy, you're afforded these sort of luxury taxes.
It was clear low impact. I think you'll find.
I reckon that would have folded you up like a deck chair, Jay.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Now on the Sunday Rub.
Every gun makes its own tune.
It's the good, the bad and the ugly from the round so far.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
Yes, this is the Sunday Rub for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks your Sunday football. It is, as you've just heard, time for the good, the bad and the ugly. Now, this is a segment that Jay-Z Clark has brought to the table. However, he's not here this morning. He's just gone, no, I'm not coming. Refuse to get here on time. But what a replacement we've got down on the boundary.
He's been waiting for this moment.
He has just been. This is it. Opportunity presents and this man says, yes, I am it, as BT calls him, the number one fridge stroker in the game. Mickey Roberts.
Robbo!
What am I doing, the bad or the ugly or both?
Well, we'll give you the bad, but I've got to go first with the good, Robbo, and then you can chime in with the bad because I love the feel-good stories. It is Easter Sunday, and I like when I look at players that have been maligned, Daisy. Players that are ones that are the scapegoat, the easy target for fans of their own team, but more so opposition. And there's been two good stories this weekend. The first is Harry Mackay.
Yep.
And the form of him, not just the Good Friday game where he was dominant, but his form across the start of the season. Last year, a lot of talk about his goal kicking, about where he was at with his football. I think that's a great story. He is dominant at the moment. He's probably the informed player of the competition, along with one or two others. So I've loved his story.
It's amazing how one kick may be able to change the entire fate of the Blue season. That kick up there at the Gabba in round one, where all the pressure of the world was on him, he kicks it, and now he just looks like the air has been released and off and gone with the prize.
Yep, so that's the first one. And the other quick one too is a man, Jakey Stringer, who does cop it as well from a lot of people, but this is why he's a match winner. And it annoys me when then people say, oh, he doesn't do it often enough. Well, this is what match winners do. They don't do it every single week. If they did that, they'd be multiple Brownlow medalists and one of the greats of all time. But Jake Stringer is a cameo player. He's a big moment man. And for him to go back with 5 minutes to go, St Kilda leading, Essendon hadn't led all day, and to kick a goal from 55 out just inside the boundary and flushed it, I love those sorts of stories because, as we said, he cops it, but he's in great form and Essendon are a much better side when he's playing well. So that's my good Robbo. Where do you want to go with the bad?
Well, I'm going to our team, Joey, St Kilda, because the same game. I wrote down in the first quarter, poor kicking in front of goal, and then second quarter, exactly the same. Seriously, if they go in at halftime, two goals up, even if they get three out of the eight that they kicked off their shin, seriously, it's a five-goal deficit at halftime. It's a different ball game, scored ball pressure. So it just changed the whole thing. So I don't know what they do because we're under the lid. There's no excuses. And some of those deliberate shots at goal by the Saints could have changed the whole state of the game. Should have. And I'll tell you what, Ross, he was fantastic before the game. He was up and about. But after it, he was looking for heads and teeth and everything. So that is my bad. Yeah. The Saints got to kick straight. Under the lid, no excuses.
I'll tell you what, that's officially on notice is Jay-Z Clark.
Yeah, that was good.
He's brought a bit of sizzle.
Yeah, that
Robbo.
Was good, Robbo. You're spot on too. Good kicking's good football.
Very, very good, Robbo. I'm left there with the ugly, and this is something that sort of grinds my gears a little bit. It happened last week with the Pies boys going to the Grand Prix the night before their game, and then the criticism of them, whether they should have been out, whether they should not have been out, and now it's started with the Brisbane Lions. There's articles being written about the end-of-year trip and how that, whatever's happened in private lives, mind you, is now fodder for the AFL media to start commenting on, and that's the reason apparently why they're not good enough and why they're not winning games of football. It's absolute horseradish. Mm. They are not winning games of football because their three best forwards aren't firing, and they need to be better at that. It's got nothing to do with what happened on a trip overseas. I genuinely am getting to the point where it's almost tabloid media what we're trying to do. We're trying to criticise players for having any sort of life, and when they do, they're built up to be knocked down. It's rather frustrating.
Spot on, Daisy. Yeah, no, I mean, you know it's horseradish. When this story started on Big Footy, it was on the Big Footy forum. Yeah, it was on social media. This is where the journo that's picked up the story has found it on social media doing the rounds. So that probably sums up the type of story that it is. So I like that. Good ugly.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Your Sunday rub continues. And as I look down to the boundary, Mickey Roberts is down there with an absolute star of the West Coast Eagles, former skipper, former superstar, Luke Shuey.
And he's the stoppage coach, Daze, and he's got his hands full because another tough gig for you at Marvel Stadium, but the Dogs got hold of Gold Coast up in Ballarat last week. We saw that, and it all happened out in the middle. Watch the tape. It's going to be a big one for you.
Yeah, it is, Robbo. Yeah, they're chock full of talent, the Doggies, have been for a few years, and they're in some pretty good form, so performed really well at Ballarat last week, and obviously the names they've got going through there, and then you know some of their tools up forward. We have to be at our best, but we're confident. We knocked them off here last year. Not that that means anything today, but hopefully gives the boys a bit of confidence.
You've got to stop them at the source. So do you heavy tag? Do you make people accountable? Because they'll go with the three tools and watch Waitman as well. But to stop them in the middle, that's the go, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We'll back our boys in early, but you know, there's seen many weeks in the AFL where Bont gets off the chain or Libby gets off the chain, and you might need to do something about it. So it'll be a go-to if they get going, but we'll play our way from the start and hopefully get on top.
Hey, thanks for your time, Luke. I have to ask the low-hanging fruit, the one that I'm sure you get asked every single time you do an interview, mate, about Harley Reid. We're excited to watch him live for the first time, but just take us a bit behind the scenes. What's he like as a kid, and how's he handled the start to the year?
It's a shame he's laid out, Joey.
Is he?
No.
I was going to go home.
he's a ripper, mate. He's you know, country boy from Tongala. He's country written all over him. He loves his footy. Just loves playing with his mates and the camaraderie aspect of football. You know, he doesn't get caught up in all the business that comes with being in the limelight of the AFL. He I think he was on the back page of the paper 30 out of 45 days at one stage there, and I don't reckon he would have picked it up once to read it. So he's he's a good kid. Loves the place. We love him, and he's playing some good footy for us.
How is the new role going over there, the Don? Are you enjoying your time behind the computer screen more than on the field?
I have, Don. It's been a nice transition for me to stay at the club. I spent 15 years at. Already know everyone here, so the relationship side of things was something I didn't really have to worry about. But the stoppage stuff's busy. but I've enjoyed it. I'm enjoying the other side of the fence now, and I must admit, round one, watching the boys warm up, I got a little bit toey and missed it for a split second there, but no, I'm enjoying where my life's at, and enjoying being on the other side of the fence coaching.
What are you indulging in, Luke? What are you sort of indulging in now that you've retired? What are you sort of really getting stuck into that you can just relax now you're not playing anymore?
Well, a couple of Melbourne bitters now that I'm back here this week. No, I guess the one thing is you can spend time with your kids and late nights and go away, and it's just a little thing, but you don't have to worry about making sure you're getting your sleep and trying to find a gym every second day on holiday, which did my wife's head in for, you know, 8 or 9 years there. But yeah, it's the little things you get to enjoy day to day with your family and your mates that you had to sacrifice while you were a player. And was lucky enough to do it for 15 years. You know, reap the reward of loving playing footy, and had a lot of fun doing it. But yeah, now enjoying the other side of life.
Have you enjoyed that 2017 Grange that you bought when you and Danny got engaged?
I didn't enjoy it because it had gone off. It tasted like vinegar. I sat it in the decanter for about an hour trying to get it right, and it was razor blades, but I ended up drinking it. I said, I've spent $900 on this. There's no way this is going down the sink. So I got through it. Pretty tanked by the end of it, but wasn't the best Grange I've had, Don.
What about your love for Harley Reid? Have you been sharing that around when coding his game at home? You haven't just pulled the missus over and said, wow, how good's this kid?
No, I get home and shower, and I come out, she's already on the laptop watching his highlights. I tell you, my kids do love him. They've jumped ship a couple of times. They had obviously my number, and now I've retired. The number 13 daddy looks a little bit sus when they wear that to the game. They asked for a number 8 last year for Elijah Hewitt, and now they want a number 9. So I'm pretty happy with the 8 and 9. They're both going to be good players.
What about, we were talking about the computer, have you had to change some glasses or anything? There's a lot of blue light going on.
Yeah, you got wind on wearing glasses, have you?
Are you wearing the goggles now, are you?
Late in the day, trying to avoid the migraine. I reckon the blue light glasses are a load of dust. I don't reckon they do much for you. But, yeah, every now and then you put the glasses on, just makes it, yeah, you make it look like you're working a bit harder than what you are, and pull the wool over people's eyes.
One last one from me. How'd you go in round one when you left for Adelaide? Didn't take anything you shouldn't into the car that day? Like a set of keys?
Oh, where are you going with this day? Oh, yeah. No, well, that wasn't my fault. My wife, we went out for a coffee that morning. I drove, and she, for some reason, brought her keys, left them in my car, and texted me when I landed in Adelaide and said, you've got my car keys. And I said, well, you shouldn't have brought them in the car. You make your bed, you lay in it, love. So she was all right.
Very good, mate. Hey, all the best today. Should be a cracking contest. We look forward to seeing what your boys can bring. We appreciate your time here on the Sunday Rub.
You're on, your lads. Have a good day.
Thanks, mate. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.